Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word again.
主啊，我们要再一次来到你面前，为您的话语献上感恩。
It's all we really need for life and godliness.
啊，这是我们所需的一切，为了生命，为了敬虔。
So, Father, we would pray today that you would help us as we further look into these principles of interpretation.
主啊，求您带领我们真的明白啊，这解经读经的原则。
And we would ask, Lord, that you would make our hearts very still.
也使我们的心安静。
And we thank you now for each one in Jesus' name.
我们为每一个人献上感恩，奉主耶稣的名。
Amen. So what we've said concerning the scriptures has been kind of preliminary to the real topic of what I'd like to talk about.
那我们还是回到我们想重点讲的这个话题啊，就是如何的解经读经。
To answer the question, how can I interpret Scripture? How can I understand God's Word?
我怎么样能理解神的话呢？怎么样解圣经呢？
And that's a question that often comes up with different people.
那常会有人问这样的问题啊。
Now Jenny has gone back to China.
我们 Jenny 姊妹已经回中国了。
And she visits us once a year.And she is much involved in house church in China.
所以她会每一年会回来在我们中间待一段时间，然后再回中国的家庭教会去。
And that was her question. How can I understand the scripture on my own?
那她也会有，其实代表大家了，也会有这样的问题：我怎么能够自己读明白圣经？
Because of government restrictions, a lot of house churches are isolated from one another.
因为这个政府管控的原因啊，所以我们很多的家庭教会呢都是彼此不联系的。
And in days gone by, there had been evangelists and teachers and preachers who traveled throughout China.
所以在过去的很长一段时间呢，有很多的中国的传道人啊，在各处传讲神的福音。
And these were men who were deeply taught in the scriptures.
那他们都是在圣经里啊，有大的得着的。
Like Watchman Nee.
那比方说呢，在几十年前的这个尼陀生弟兄。
That's a name that's familiar to us in the West.
这个弟兄在西方都有很深的影响。
Because he visited the West and preached in Europe and in North America.
那这个弟兄呢，他在他的时代在北美和欧洲都讲过道。
And many books that he wrote.
他也写了很多的书。
That have been translated into English.
也都翻译成了英文。
Now, he is familiar to us, but there were many others that were associated with him.
那他只是当中一个，还有和他一样，有很多神的大仆人在中国。
And before the revolution, they had a profound effect upon the churches in China.
所以呢，在四九年前呢，他们对中国的教会哈是有非常深刻影响。
But since the revolution, the churches have had oftentimes to go underground.
所以在那之后呢，四九年之后呢，很多的教会变成了家庭教会。
And those godly men were all put in prison or worse.
那这些属神的仆人呢，有或抓的，或死的，就也都散了。
And so now they're much in isolation from one another.
所以现在的情况就是，家庭教会的连结，彼此的连结是非常薄弱的。
And they don't have the benefit of good Bible teachers traveling to their churches.
那就同时会带来一个问题，就是很缺乏非常好的圣经的教师和教导。
So there's a great need in China.
所以在国内呢是有非常大的需要啊，对这个神的教导和教义。
But now you have all come to the West.
现在大家都很蒙福啊，能够听见这些的教导。
There's still a great need here for the same thing.
那同样呢，在今天在这里，我们也有很大类似的需要。
How can I understand the scriptures?
所以我们怎么才能明白读明白圣经呢？
There are so many different voices out there.
因为有太多不同的声音啊，搅扰我们。
on the internet and books and television and radio.
在收音机里的互联网上的书上的电视上的声音都很杂。
Who do I believe?
我该相信谁说的呢？
And how can I determine for myself what the scriptures mean rather than have to have someone else tell me?
那我怎么才能自己判断圣经是这段是什么意思，而不是另一个人怎么告诉我的，我去怎么看。
So that's why the reason we want to look at some principles of Bible interpretation.
这就是为什么我们想看一点圣经解经的原则，这个出发点就是这个。
Now, when the Apostle Paul came to Europe in the beginning of his ministry to the Western world, he came to a place called Berea.
所以当使徒保罗刚开始欧洲传道的经历的时候呢，他早期去的一个地方叫皮利亚。
And as his practice was, he would first of all start to preach in the synagogues of the cities.
所以他还是按照他原来的方式啊，他一般每到一个城呢，总是先去犹太会堂讲道。
The Jews had been resettled all over the world. They had been thrown out of Israel, and they were now living in most of the cities around that area.
因为在那个时候呢，犹太人因着历史的原因已经被驱散到世界各地啊，所以各个地方都有犹太人，就有犹太会堂了。
Everywhere they went, they set up their synagogues.
所以他每到一个地方呢，就会建立犹太会堂。
And they had the Old Testament.
然后他们就会有这本旧约圣经。
Which would be read every Sabbath day.
那每一个安息日，他们都会翻开读。
Now when the Apostle Paul, he went out with the gospel, the good news,that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures.
所以耶稣基督的福音呢，保罗每到一个地方就会在会堂讲，就是主替我们的罪死了，埋葬了，又复活了。
And that eternal life would be was preached in his name.
所以永恒的道啊，永恒生命的道就在主的名下开始被传讲。
The Bereans, you know what they did?
你知道皮里亚人做了什么呢？
Someone knows here.
有的人读过吗？ They read Bible, right?
They went into the Old Testament and they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul said was right.
对，所以他们查考圣经啊，皮里亚人他们的反应很有意思，他们回去查考圣经来看保罗讲的对不对。
They didn't just believe that everything.
对，他们并不是说听见了或拒绝或接受，就这种反应。
They searched the scriptures.
他们回到圣经。
And then they determined that what Paul was preaching was true.
然后他们最终判断了，哎，保罗说的是真的。
And they turned then and believed the message of the Lord Jesus.
所以他们就转向神呢，最终相信保罗说的。耶稣基督的道是真的，就接受。
So, but they had a head start on all of us.
那他总是有个开始啊。
They were trained from their youngest days as a Jew to study the Old Testament scriptures, and they were taught every Sabbath day.
他们这个好的开始呢，比我们好在呢，他们从小是犹太人，有旧约圣经的阅读和这个训练的基础。
But for us Gentiles, this is a strange book.
但我们作为外邦人呢，整本圣经一开始对我们来说都是本奇怪的书。
And a lot of strange things are in here.
很多讲了一些很奇怪的事情。
And so how then can I, as a Gentile, approach this word, which is God's word to me, and I can understand it properly?
作为外邦人，我怎么才能接近这个话？正确的理解这个话能明白呢。
So I want to give you now, we're going to start today and it'll probably go next week, some principles of Bible interpretation.
所以呢，我今天呢会继续讲这个，也许会延续到下一周一些原则怎么解经。
The very first principle that we come to,
那第一个原则呢就是
is that the Bible should be read like any other writing.
那就圣经呢，应该像和其他的书一样的读啊。
Now, I've just spent the first hour telling you that it's unlike every other writing.
我前面那个小时啊，会告诉你们这不像其他的书。
Am I contradicting myself?
我自己是不是自相矛盾了呢？
No, not at all.
不是的。
You see, God, this is God's communication to us.
这是神对我们的交流啊，交通。
God should be able to communicate properly to us.
所以神有这个能力啊，正确的方法来跟我们交流。
Don't you think, in a plain way, He should be able to communicate to us very, very, without any problem.
没有任何的问题的情况下，他可以很很自然的、很平时的来跟我们交流。
He has not written to us in some strange heavenly language that it takes an angel to interpret.
所以相对应的呢，它不是一个从天上来的，靠着一个天使用你不能明白的话来告诉你的，不是这样的方式。
Remember we said he spoke through man.
你要记得他是借着人来说的话。
And so it's a record by man from God, and it should be plain to everybody.
所以他是借着人。神启示他，然后人的口说出来，是我们完全能听明白。
So, the first thing is we when you read the scriptures, you read it naturally in its normal sense.
所以当你读的时候呢，你用你的常识，用你的里面的最普通的那个判断的常识啊，你去读这本圣经就好。
Now there's an old English saying, I don't know how it'll translate into Chinese, you can determine that for yourself, but it goes like this. If the scripture makes sense, seek no other sense.
就是呢，有一个古老的谚语啊，在西方，他说如果圣经啊，本身是合理的呢，你就不要再去想办法找另外一个道理来解释。
In other words, if the language is plain and you understand what it says, don't try to twist it to make it mean something else.
就像呢，比方说你读了一段话，这个语言表达也很平实、很直白，你一读也读明白了，你就不要尝试着再用另外的一个解释方法，再把它从里面又找出点这个你觉得这个有意义的东西来。
Like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is a plain statement.
那创世纪一章的一节是个特别直白的表达。
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
他说起初神创造天地。
That's a plain statement.
讲得很直白。
There can be no doubt about what that means.
这个什么意思也都很清楚。
In the New Testament, it supports that by saying all things were made by him and without him nothing was made that was made.
所以就像在约翰福音呢，新约的约翰福音也同样响应了这个神说的话，他说凡是万物都是借着他造的，凡被造的没有一样不是借着他造的，就借着神呢。
Now, turn to John's Gospel. We'll use this as an example.
我们用约翰福音来做例子。
John's Gospel, chapter 1,
约翰福音一章，新约一百六十页
，and verse 6,
一章六节，新约的一百六十页，一章六节，约翰福音。
Here's a statement. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John.
那有一个人是从神那里差来的，名叫约翰。
Now, what does that mean?
这什么意思？
It means there was a man sent from God, and his name was John.
这个意思就是这句话的意思。
Very good, a very good interpretation.
很好的解经。
Okay.
这句话就是不用解，就是这个意思。
That's plain.
这很简单。
Even you got that, eh?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, now turn to John chapter, the same chapter, Verse 9.
那同样的一
or 29.
再看二十九节。
Again, we read it's John saw Jesus coming toward him.
再一次呢，我们这里看见是施洗约翰看见了耶稣。
and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
他就说呢，看哪，神的羔羊除去世人罪孽。
Now, the lamb. Did he see a little lamb? You know, a little white woolly lamb.
好，这里我们怎么解呢？他难道看见了一只羔羊吗？白色也小羊羔吗？看见了吗？没有。
What did he see there?
那他看见谁了？他看见耶稣了。
He saw Jesus. Well, it doesn't say he saw. Look, there is Jesus, who's going to take away the sin of the world. What is he doing there?
那他这里在说什么呢？
He's using a figure of speech, right?
很简单，他就用了一个比喻嘛，对吧？
There's,
他就用了一个
比喻。We have similes, right? A simile is where you say, he is like something.
我们也从常会用这个比喻说这样东西像那样东西像什么人。
You have metaphors where you, which this is a metaphor.
这就是个比喻暗指。
The Lamb of God is metaphorical. We understand it in a figurative sense.
所以我们理解他说这个羔羊就是在指耶稣。
Well, you have figurative speech in Chinese, do you not?
Yeah, 我们中文也有很多比喻的用法，对吧？
It's universal.
就是全世界的语言都是这样。
Because by using metaphor, you can explain something that would be very difficult otherwise.
所以比喻呢，能帮助我们来解释一些本来很难去理解的道理。一用比喻呢，你就清楚了。
Now, as soon as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," he was talking to his two disciples.
所以当施洗约翰说神的羔羊的时候呢，他的说话的对象是他的两个门徒。
And immediately those men would understand it in the sense that this as a lamb was a picture of a sacrifice.
所以这时候呢，他的两个门徒立刻就能明白，哦，这个是指那个献祭的那个羔羊啊。
It was a picture of innocence.
这是一个图像，是一个无辜的无罪的羔羊的形象。
Yeah, the lamb was often used in sacrifice in place of the sinner.
因为在整个旧约里呢，羔羊总是用作献祭来代替人的罪来献上。
It also spoke of the blood that was shed, the life that was given.
也讲到羊的血流出来，生命给出来，这么样的一个意思。
Now it wasn't just the lamb that was given for a sacrifice in the temple.
那不单单是在圣殿献的羊这么一层意思。
He said this is God's lamb.
他还讲到了这是神的羔羊。
This is God's provision for mankind.
这是神给人预备救恩的方式。
Where the innocent one would lay his life, lay himself down.
所以对于这无辜的那一位啊，他会把他的生命为罪人给献上。
So if you turn to Isaiah chapter 53, we get further light thrown on this.
我们看以赛亚书五十三章，能看见更多的亮光。
Verse 7,
七节
of Isaiah 53,
1197页，旧约1197，最后一节。
He was oppressed.
第七节，这一页的最后一节。
And he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
对，以赛亚书五十三章七节，那这一页最后一节啊，他说他被欺压，在他就是耶稣了，在受苦的时候却不开口。他像羊羔被牵到宰杀之地，又像羊在剪毛的人手下无声，他也是这样不开口。
So to the disciples of John, this verse might have come into their minds.
所以对于施洗约翰的门徒啊，他们可能会想起这些经文来。
And so, even though we read Scripture in a literal sense, if it makes sense, seek no other sense. If it doesn't make sense, then maybe it's written in figurative language.
所以我们现在看见呢，当我们就这么 直白的读圣经，如果它就是很清楚的意思呢，我们就不要再去再找其他的意思。但是呢，你一读呢，它这个意思显然不是这么字面所表达的意思，你就要先想它可能是一个比喻。
Besides similes and metaphors, the Lord used parables.
那不但有比喻呢，主还用故事
to teach his disciples.
来教导他的门徒。
A parable is you tell a story that makes perfect natural sense, but it illustrates another spiritual sense alongside.
所以故事呢，是用一个地上很合理的，大家都能明白的故事呢，来讲一个属天属灵的道理。
Now often parables are explained in Scripture.
所以一般来说呢，这些故事在圣经里都会解释。
Now go to Matthew 13 and you'll see what I mean.
比方说马太的十三章。
Matthew 13.
马太十三章。新约第一个福音书，新约的二十三页。
And verse 3.
十三章的三节。新约的二十三页。
Says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed.
十三章三节，他用比喻对他们讲了很多道理，说有一个撒种的出去撒种。
And so on. And the parable talks about four different types of soil that the seed falls into.
所以这个比喻呢，讲到四种的土壤啊，就是种子。
The first falls onto the pathway, and the birds pick it up.
所以第一种呢是土浅，是土路边的土啊。
The second falls on rocky ground, and the seed germinates, but there's no soil, and it dies. It dries up.
第二种呢是土浅石头地啊，底下是石头，土壤很浅，很快就死了。
The third falls into thorns and thistles and chokes it and it doesn't bring any fruit.
第三种呢是在荆棘里，荆棘呢就把营养挤掉了，就种子不发芽，长不好。
But some seed falls into good ground and the seed root goes into the ground and it brings forth lots of fruit.
那有一种就落在好土里，就结很多倍。
And there's a reason why he often spoke in parables.
所以有一些原因啊，为什么他总是用比喻。
He says in verse 13.
十三节。
This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes.
所以我用比喻对他们讲，是因为他们看也看不见，听也听不明白。一直读到十五节哈，就是对刚才一直读到了十五节。
And he goes on.Continues on verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it.
16节，读完了16节。
Yeah. So, the Lord speaks to them in parables becauseIf a person does not want to obey God, does not want to believe, the parable won't mean anything to them.
所以如果一个人呢，他不愿意相信神，不愿意顺服神呢，这些比喻对他，故事对他没什么意义。
It says they have closed their ears, they have closed their eyes.
所以他们的眼啊，他们的耳啊，都是关着的。
A lot of people, they want to know in their minds, but they don't want to let the word have its effect in their hearts.
所以很多人在脑子里他愿意接受，也想要知道，但是呢，他从来没在心里接进去过。
They want the knowledge without the truth.
他想要知识啊，但是他不要真理。
But he says to them, to his own disciples, he opens up the parables. They ask him, Lord, tell us what you mean by that.
但他的门徒们却跟主说呢，主啊，你告诉我这些什么意思？
So he explains the parable there in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. And you can read that for yourself.
所以十八节他就开始解释，你可以自己读啊，这个。
It's the effect on the individual hearers, what the word of God has, the effect that the word of God has on the individual.
所以这个故事的所指的隐藏的含义就是指听到的人他们是不同的反应。
So there's parables. Often you'll find there's parables spoken of in the rest of the New Testament and the Old.
所以你会看见这样的一个写作方法呢，在新约和旧约都有很多。
But usually you can tell that they are parables.
但是你能知道这个就是比喻的故事，隐喻的故事。
And you can, or if you have any doubt, you can just put that aside. A friend of mine used to say about the Bible, he'd come to something that he didn't understand. It was like when he was eating chicken. You come and you hit a bone, you just put it aside. You don't try to chew it up. You just put it aside for now.
有的时候你读着读着你不明白，就像你吃鸡，你吃到根骨头，你不会一直把它嚼下去，你把它吐出来就放一边。
So sometimes there's things you don't understand.
总会碰到一些你不能明白的。
But the things that are plain, God wants you to believe and obey.
所以那一些直白的话，神愿意相，神盼望你呢，直接相信就顺服。
And sometimes, your understanding of Scripture will be stopped because you are not willing to obey what you already understand.
有的时候会因为你不愿意顺服啊，那你对神的话的理解就开始有受拦阻了。
Now there's also symbols that are used throughout Scripture.
还有一个方式神用的就是象征，在圣经里。
And you can often find how the symbols are used.
所以你经常能看见这个象征它是怎么用的。
For example,
比方说。
You use the symbol of gold.
我们黄金是有象征的。
Gold in Scripture speaks of an imperishable metal.
黄金就是一种不会朽坏的金属。
Of all the metals in the Bible, gold is the supreme.
所有的金属里，黄金是最高的。
And the most valuable.
所以就有价值的。
So that when we come to they talk about gold in the scriptures, often it refers to the highest authority, God Himself, His glory.
所以当我们讲到黄金呢，总是会让我们想起神的荣耀，神是至高的这个权柄。
So just as gold is the glory of the metals,
就像黄金是金属的这个荣耀一样。
And so then you read about in the Old Testament, for example, the Ark of the Covenant.
所以在旧约呢，你会看见那个约柜哈。
The place where God put these tables of stone.
在那里呢，放了两块石板。
It was all covered in pure gold.
在这个外面覆盖的全是黄金。
And the covering on the Ark of the Covenant was called the Mercy Seat.
那这个盖住这约柜的上面那个东西叫做施恩的座，施恩宝座。
It was pure gold.
是全金做的。
Because there was the presence of the Lord above the mercy seat, between two golden cherubims that had their wings overstretching the mercy seat.
这里呢就是神的宝座的位置啊，那有两个黄金纯金的基路伯啊。张开翅膀 遮盖这个座位。
And the Lord said, There I will meet with you, and I will commune with you above the mercy seat between the cherubims.
神就跟以色列人说呢，那就是我跟你们交流的地方，就在施恩宝座之上，两个基路伯之间。
And his glory, his manifested glory, the Shekinah of glory was there blazing as a light above that mercy seat.
他的光啊，他的宝座的荣耀就像光一样，就停留在这施恩座上。
And no one could go into that holy place.
没有人能进到这至圣所里去。
Because of the presence of the Lord.
因着神就在那里。
And then around that place were boards of pure gold, or covered with pure gold around that place.
在那个座位边上啊，全都是用黄金给包住的。
And that was the dwelling place of God, speaking of His glory.
这就是神的座位啊，就是说明他的荣耀。
So, gold speaks of the glory of God.
所以黄金就代表神的荣耀。
Silver. What is the silver symbolic of?
那银代表什么呢？
It's interesting. Silver always speaks of redemption.
也总是代表救赎啊。
Redemption.
救赎。
The children of Israel, they were to bring in the half shekel as a sign of redemption.
就是在旧约律法里呢，犹太人总是要拿半舍克勒银子啊过来做赎罪银。
And the tabernacle in the wilderness, its foundation were these feet of silver.
所以。
All the boards they had their foundation was the rest.
就是圣所啊，就是在旷野的时候，以色列人造那个圣所那个基础啊，都是银子的。
And it was the tabernacle that the people could approach to God through the priesthood.
所以借着这个圣所呢，人可以来到神面前啊。
But the whole structure rested upon silver redemption.
那所有的这个基础这个建筑呢，它是建立在一个银子的基座上。
The redemption price.
就是赎罪的价格，赎罪祭。
So that silver, we also have brass because we're using three symbols this morning to illustrate this the figures of speech.
所以今天我们用三个金属来讲这个。代表的这个象征的意思，我们还可以看一下铜。
Brass is speaks of judgment.
铜总是来讲到审判。
In the courtyard of the tabernacle, there was a brass altar there.
因为在圣殿的这个中间呢，有一个铜制的祭坛。
And day and night, there was a roaring fire on that altar.
在这个祭坛上呢，早晚都是有一直熊熊烧的火。
And all the sacrifices, the burnt offerings, the peace offerings, and the sin offerings were put on that fire.
然后无论是这个各种各样的祭啊，燔祭、赎罪祭。这些的祭呢，都是在那个坛上一直烧。
The blood of those sacrifices were taken into the temple, into the tabernacle, but the bodies were burnt on that fire.
祭物的血呢会带进圣所，但是祭物的身体是在圣祭坛上烧掉的。
Some of those sacrifices were sin offerings.
有的这样的献祭是赎罪祭。
And those sin offerings were completely burnt to, up to God, where the smoke went to Him.
所有的这个赎罪祭的，它是要烧光的啊，不能留。
We read that our God is a consuming fire.
所以我们知道我们的神呢是烈焰。
Absolutely holy.
是全然圣洁的。
And so that when you look at the brass in Scripture, that's what holds that fire. It speaks of the judgment of God.
所以当你想到铜啊，它就是托住这烈焰的，其实就在讲神的审判。
Now turn to Revelation chapter 1.
我们看一下启示录的一章，最后一卷书，整本圣经。启示录。
And chapter 1, and we read about the vision that John sees. He turns and sees the Lord Jesus Christ in his judicial garments as a judge.
所以这是我们看见约翰所看见的异象啊，就是作为那审判者的主，他的那时候显明的形象是什么样
？The Book of Revelation is simply a book of judgment.
因为启示录，你可以把它简单看成一个审判书。
First of all, he judges the churches.
先审判教会。
Because judgment must first begin at the house of God.
因为彼得说呢，审判是从神的家起手。
And after chapter 6 and to chapter 19, we read it's a judgment on the world system that denies Christ.
所以从六章到十九章呢，是在审判世界那否定主的。
And it ends with the judgment seat there, the great white throne judgment.
然后最后就是白色大宝座的审判。
But look how the Lord Jesus is the vision that John is given of the Lord Jesus in that first chapter.
我们可以看见呢，这个是约翰给出来的这个意象。
Verse 12.
12节。
I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands.
我转过身来是要看谁发声与我说话，一转过来就看见七个金灯台。
And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his feet were like blazing fire.
读了十三和十四节啊，就是眼目如同火焰。
Notice this verse 15.
注意十五节。
His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace.
那脚好像在炉中锻炼光明的铜。
Where he would walk now among the golden candlesticks, it was in judgment upon those seven churches. He's assessing them in their witness on earth.
所以他看见，我们看见七个金灯台中间的人子啊。他是皎如光明铜，这代表他要审判了。
Now judgment doesn't necessarily mean condemnation.
所以审判不一定就代表定罪。
Here in with the churches, he's judging. He commends what is good and he judges what is bad.
所以对于主来说呢，他是赏善罚恶啊。不单单只是定罪。
And calls them back to repentance.
要把人带到悔改。
So that's where you see him now in the capacity, his capacity as the judge himself.
所以你会看见这里他在讲他是审判主这么一个形象。
Not in this capacity as our great high priest.
就是我们的至高的大祭司。
But as judge.
就不是至高的大祭司，是一个审判主。
So there you have gold, silver, and bronze, or brass, or copper, whatever it is.
现在三个金属，金银铜。
And throughout Scripture, gold always speaks of the glory, the first glory.
所以你会看见圣经里铜都是在讲到神的荣耀了。
You remember Daniel's vision.Or Nebuchadnezzar's vision of this great statue.
所以你都会记得这个但以理和尼布甲尼撒的这个异象啊，看见那个金像。
Let's go there to Daniel. Maybe we're better to go there. today.
我们看一下但以理书。
If I can find it. Daniel chapter 2, I think.
但以理书的二章。
Daniel chapter 2. Yeah. Verse
32.
The head of the statue was made of pure gold. Its chest and arms of silver.
胸膛和臂膀是银的。
Its belly and thighs of bronze.
肚腹和腰是铜的。
And then its legs of iron.
腿是铁的。
So now he gives the interpretation of it.
然后他解释了一下这个是什么意思。
He says there in verse 36.
在三十六节开始解这个梦。
This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king.
这就是那梦，我们在王面前要讲解那梦。
You, O King, are the King of Kings.
王啊，你是诸王之王，天上的神。
The God of Heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory.
天上的神已将国度、权柄、能力、尊荣都赐给你。
In your hands He has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, He has made you rule over them. You are that head of gold.
凡世人所住之地的走兽并天空的飞鸟他都交付你手使你掌管这一切注意这个他说你就是那金头
As far as the glory went the kingdom of Babylon was the greatest kingdom on earth
在这地上所有的国度里面这个巴比伦王是最有荣耀的
And then he explains about the silver
所以他接着解释了这个银呢
Verse
39节
After you, another kingdom will rise inferior to you.
在你以后又必兴起另一国不及于你。
Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze will rule over the whole earth.
就是铜必掌管天下。
And then, finally, the fourth one, which is iron. And so you can see, symbolically, gold, silver, bronze, and iron.
所以你会看见这个这个表述的这个象征的意义啊，金银铜铁。
So oftentimes symbols are explained in scripture.
所以呢，常常来说呢，这样的表征啊，在圣经里他会解释给你听的。
Not always in the same place, but you sometimes have to search scripture.
所以不一定是在同样的一个地方，他立刻解释，但在你查搜其他地方的时候，你会找得到。
So.One of the favorite methods that some people use to interpret scripture is to, they allegorize it. They don't understand it, so they allegorize it.
Allegorize means parable.
Well, it's like a parable, but similar.
所以有的时候呢，人解经的时候会用这种象征的比喻的方式。
They interpret it according to their own imagination.
那有的时候呢，这走的过了呢，就是用自己的想象来解经。
But that's very dangerous.
所以这个是非常危险。
And we should never imagine an interpretation. It's better to leave that passage until God gives you some light on it.
所以我们必须要有神的光照啊，否则我们就坚持字面的意思。除非神的圣灵光照你。
Because if you allegorize one passage, why wouldn't you allegorize everything?
如果你能够用这样的象征来解一段，那你就可以每一段你都用象征意思。
And those people that allegorize scripture and read into it something, rather than have the scripture read to you, they read into the scripture.
所以这里的危险在于呢，我们会把一些意思呢读进圣经，而不是借着圣经把意思启示给我们。
No two people who allegorize agree on what the allegory means.
如果我们用这样的一个隐喻的这个 暗指的方式用在所有的这个经文上呢，就不会有两个人都同意的，彼此都认可。
There's enough in Scripture that is very plain for us, each of us, to follow at the moment of our experience. There's plenty there for us to obey.
对，所以大部分的时候呢，我们在第一眼看见读的时候，你就能明白他是在说什么，你就按照这个他告诉你的方式去理解就好。
There's a principle of Scripture, and it's if you're not obeying Scripture, God isn't going to reveal anything more to you.
因为原则就是你若不愿意顺服圣经呢，神也不会再给你更多启示了。
Because the Lord, that's why He spoke in parables, because those that would not would refuse to believe.He hid the truth from them.
这就是神为什么有的时候的确会用比喻，因为对于那些不愿意顺服神道理的人呢，神就会把道理隐藏起来。
So, that's the literal principle.
所以这是第一这样的一个原则，就是字面解经的原则。
Now, having said that, that's interpretation. That's literally literal interpretation. Most of it's literal, unless it's a figure of speech.
所以大部分呢是直接的哈，当然有当中会有比喻的。
But when it comes to application, that's another thing.
第二呢，当它进入到应用的环节又不一样。
We're going to look at application later on, but I'll just in, as we close today, speak about.The truth, what we learn and we understand, we need to apply.
所以我们下一次会讲更多一点关于应用的内容。但今天呢，我们可以想，就是我们什么时候知道要去应用
？Because often you have one interpretation. There is one interpretation.
那有一个解释，经常。
But many applications.
但是有很多的应用。
The same scripture can help me today and you tomorrow, and it has a different meaning for you. Not that there's a different interpretation, but the application fits your life and mine as well, and we're in different situations.
所以同样的一个圣经啊，它的解释方法是一个，但是应用是有很多种，在你的生命中和在我的生命中，应用完全是不一样的，因为我们有不同的场合、不同的环境。
Remembering again that this is the living word of God to living people.
记得这是神，永生神的话给到了活着的人，所以这个话都是可以用的。
And if in order for our life to be nourished, we need.The living word.
所以在我们的生命需要喂养的这个过程中，我们真的需要永生神的话。
So I think our time is gone now. We'll ask. I won't even say your name because everybody laughs when I say it. Would you just close this?
Okay. 我们一起来做一个结束的祷告。我们的天上的父，谢谢您赐给我们这宝贵的真理，父爱，求您带着我们真的能读明白这本圣经。我们愿意谦卑顺服，我们也立志，接受您的话，按您的话去行。求您借着我们的信心，把这真理不断的启示给我们。我们这样的祷告和感恩，奉主耶稣的名，阿门。